Okay, Rabbi Sar, shalom. As I told you, next week, this is Hashem, we'll have Shir Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'll be out of town for Chasana Sunday and coming back Monday morning, but it's going to get too late, so we'll just do it as Hashem Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay, so today, what I'd like to discuss is the famous mikveh of Bor al Gabi Bor, the pros and the cons, which is known as the Lubavitcher mikveh. And the miyased of this mikveh was the Rebbe Rashab. That was the fifth Rebbe of Sholem Baer. I think the minute get a Lubavitcher chasna, you're supposed to say a mimer from the Rebbe Rashab at your chasen's tish. Right, exactly. Right. So, that's the minig. But the minig of Chabad is also, they'll do anything to get a Chabad mikvah. You know, Chabad is very interesting because on one hand, they're very inclusive. On the other hand, they want their mahal. You know, they're very into their mahalach and certain things. And mikveh is one of the big things that they want a Chabad mikveh. And again, so basically, what Chabad mikveh is, the Bor al Gabi Bor, the Rebbe Rashab, is instead of doing hashaka zeh b'tzad zeh, they do hashaka one on top of the other, meaning they have. So basically, it's an easier, like Rabbi Rosenberg said, it's an easier mikveh to build because you only need one cavity in the ground instead of having two cavities or three cavities. You have one digging in the ground, and you have the mei geshamim. Then you have a floor, and then you have the nekev in the floor. Actually, they have a minik to have two holes. Their holes are bigger than most holes. We'll talk about that in a different shir. They have two holes. And then they have the Mayim Shuvim coming on top. And the Mayim Shuvim is usually heated water. So you have the cold water, the Mekesham on the bottom, the hot water on top. And part of the assumption is that the hot water, I think Beryl Levine in his article might have discussed this, that the hot heat rises and the hot water will be on top and the cold water will be on the bottom, and therefore the hope is that the cold water will remain more pristine in its, because the whole point of this is to be Mekayim. Again, the only thing we want to Mekayim is that Sifkot and what, Samach Gimel, the Rambam Ravid, that we want to have Nosson Saw and Notel Saw, even by Mayim Shuvim, to have 2021 Saw of real Mei Geshomim. And that's why, so all these, what the whole world is going, standing on their heads for, is just for this halacha, this Yesh Omer in the Shach. But the whole, I told you, with the whole Mayan thing, you know, that Tzufsak is to do for that, and the Chabad is to do for that. Everything is to try to get that Rambam and Ravid in.
Do they do Bor Zuria also besides that, or just
the Chabad mikvah is primarily to do that. They might have other things, but primarily the Chabad mikvah is that. They might have other things. We'll talk about other additions, but that's the primary thing. That's what they want. Yeah, that already, that's not a, because that shita that maybe you don't say hashaka by shuvim, I told you, is not even a yesh omrim in the shach. It's not a yesh omrim in the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, I told you that some rishonim don't hold from hashaka if it's just shofar sanod. So that opinion, even though I think that's maybe a lot of rishonim hold of it, but in the Shulchan Aruch world, that doesn't have any credibility whatsoever. So that's not even cool. Shulchan Aruch says Hashakish Kafers Hanod is good. Hashaka Kshur first Hanod. But
then you still have the issue of unplugging and plugging.
Plugging and unplugging, right. But in other words, in the Shulchan Aruch world, we don't say that there's a shita that Hashaka doesn't work by Shuvim. That's in the outside the Shulchan Aruch world. You know,
but this writing is also outside the Shulchan.
No, but the Shach quotes it. The Shach in Samuel Gimel says that you should be machmir to kayim the sheet of the Rambam the Ravid. Even though in the Machaber world it's easy to build a mikvah. In Machaber's world it's easy to build a mikvah. You just, you know, you can do hashaka chad pa'ami. You don't have to worry about nosos of notosa. And it's kosher lechatchila without any pikpukim in the Machaber world, because he's not choishish for hashaka to meet this. And he's not choishish for nosen sov and not also by maim shuvim, only by may peris. So the mechaber world just do a regular hashaka is good. A regular, you just have to make sure that you do a hashaka. You know, sometimes people
think,
right. There's a certain mikveh that a certain mikveh in a certain place that they. They misunderstood the rabbi, the helmet, so that they didn't do a hashaka. So they had to plug in, and they had the rainwater, and then they had the mayim shuvim come in every day, and they didn't do a hashaka. So.
Famous story about Rav Moshe that period in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the chumra that he
wanted
from there?
No. So there. There are many versions of what exactly happened to that in Russia. Many versions. I can give you three different versions of what happened, but I can tell you this: that Rav Nachum Rosenberg told me, he's a big mikveh person in Williamsburg. He saw the mikveh. He took pictures of the mikveh
in Russia.
In Russia, he was there. I think he told Rav David wanted to see it. He took pictures of the mikveh. Basically, the mikveh in Russia was a swimming pool. And underneath the swimming pool, there was a hole that there was a collection of melted ice that melted. Natural ice,
yeah.
That was melted underneath our boim saw of natural ice, and it was hushuk to the swimming pool. So I said to Rav Nachum Rosenberg, so basically Rav Moshe's mikveh was Lubavitcher mikveh. Rav Moshe's mikveh in Luban, this famous mikveh, was basically a Lubavitcher mikveh. No. So I'll tell you there are various versions of the story. The version of Rav Nachum Rosenberg said from Rav David Feinstein, this version, even though Rav Mordechai Tema has a different version, is that, you see, part of the, let me tell you something. You'll find this interesting. This Chabad mikveh. So I told you the main point of the Chabad mikveh is to be yotzei the nosen sov and not also. But two people independently told me that they have another fear. I'll tell you who. You know one of them very well. Told me that they have another theory of what the Chabad mikveh is all about. And they think that it was a way to hide a mikveh. In other words, this was told to me by Rabbi J. Marcus, formerly of Staten Island. He said this to me, and Rabbi Tibor Stern. Tibor Stern, you ever heard of him? Rabbi Shmuel Tovia Stern, Shilas and Shuvas Shavit. He was a big goon. He was the rabbi, one of the rabbis of Hebrew National, and he was the rabbi then in Tower 41. You know, Tower 41?
Yeah.
Tower 41 is an apartment building in 41st Street in Miami Beach. my grandmother lives there in the winter. Everyone's grandmother lives in town 41. Rabbi Dulitz used to be a Rebbe here at MTA. He lives there as well. So he was the Murad Astra. So he also said this to me. So we used to speak in Mikvos a little bit. He's not alive for that. He wrote these very thick Shilas and Tshuvas for him. He's a big goal. So they said to me, independently, that they think that maybe it had to do also with this idea of... So the irony is, what these two people had said to me is basically the Mikvah of Rav Moshe. Because the Mikvah of Rav Moshe, the point of the Mikvah of Rav Moshe is to have a hidden mikvah. In other words, this way, you have a swimming pool, so no one's going to know that there's a mikvah around. So the Hashaka, there was a hidden mikvah underneath, which was Hushak, to the swimming pool, Zal Gabezer. And that was, so there are different opinions. So Lamaisa, Rav Moshe was not so mechad that mikvah for his own life. Meaning, he went like 10, 11 years without a mikvah. That's why there's a 10, 11 year gap between Rav David Feinstein and Rav Reuven Feinstein in their ages. Because he went 10, 11 years without a mikvah. Even though he had this mikvah. So why didn't he use the mikvah? I mean, they say his wife did use it, but he wasn't so mechad. So I'll tell you the different versions of the story. So, like Rabbi Alter said, maybe some pickpocket. The way Rabbi Tendla has Rabbi Moshe, Mordechai Tendla, the Numa Soros Moshe, is that since he wasn't able to be mefakeach on it, so he didn't want to, he wasn't hands on to see exactly what was going on, so he didn't so mechanet lemaisa for himself. The way that Rabbi David Feinstein's version of the story that I heard from Rabbi Nachum Rosenberg is a different version. That it was a hidden mikvah, and the goyim didn't want the Jews that they should be using the mikvah. So, what's going to happen if Rabbi Moshe's wife would be pregnant? They would know that there must be some mikvah here, or else how did she become pregnant? Other people in the community, the goyim will just say they're not observant. But the rabbi, he's not observant, that can't be. So there must be, and then the secret will be, the beans spill the beans, and so there must be this mikvah. So therefore, he had to make sure that his wife wouldn't be pregnant for 11 years, because then they'll know that there's a mikvah. So that's another... What? Right. According to that version, it wasn't a psul in any chashash in the kashrus. It was just in this.
According to the first version, it's a little shvach, because why would he wasn't going to be in the sakeh on it, but he was going to allow other people to use it.
Yeah. Okay. So the versions I can't say, but the lemaisa, the type of mikveh was that he has a picture. That Rav Nachum Rosenberg went to Luban and he took pictures, and so that's the type of mikveh it was basically a bor gabei bor. We're going to have a whole packet, actually. I just picked up the packet today about the story of ice. This was a different type of ice. This was natural ice. There's a whole discussion if you have a community where it doesn't rain. So right, so could you there's one opinion that says that you can take Mayim Shuvim and you freeze it, and it's no longer Shuvim. And then you can use it as a mikvah. And not everyone agrees that that's...
You can take
Mayim Shuvim,
you don't have to worry about...
Mayim Shuvim is Mayim Shuvim. You don't have Mayim Shuvim, that's the point.
No, I'm saying... You should.
I once asked from Nachum Rosenberg, how many times in your life, again, this is Nachum Rosenberg, is a person who spends Yom HaLaila. Some people, they dedicate their lives to building mikvahs throughout the world. That's their life. They're a mikvah person, like the Helmutzer Rebbe. That was his life. Nachum Rosenberg is my friend. That's his life. he builds mikvahs throughout the world. Like today he's going away to build, you know, he's always, so I asked him, in your life, how many times did you ever do it?
What, ice?
Ice. So he said twice. So once in Spain, I guess it wasn't raining and he needed to build the mikvah, so they used the ice heter. And once in Eretz Yisrael, so he told me that, this I told you, I think maybe part of the story once, that he said, it's funny that there's a prominent Rav in Eretz Yisrael, not necessarily known to be a Poisek, but a prominent Rav in Eretz Yisrael, who has people following, and they have a mikveh, tshuva, whatever it is, they go to the mikveh, and then they found out that all the megashomim that was on top has a chashash that they were all shuvim, because they were going through some type of plastic covering that was like maybe like a base kibble before it came on the thing. So maybe everything that they thought was the megashomim that was doing the hashaka was really shuvim. So now, you know, if you have some type of community, then they're not necessarily going to necessarily also go to another mikveh. They're used to their mikveh. So he needed to build them a mikveh right away. So how do you build an automatic overnight? How do you overnight a mikveh? So if you hold from this cooler that you could take mayim shuvim, just turn on the faucet and get mayim shuvim in a second, okay? And then freeze it. How long does it take to put it in the freezer? It takes a second. So I can overnight you a mikvah with my shuvim, freeze. So that's what he did. He made them a. And Rav Avadya Yosef said to him, he said, I'll let you be somech on this with one condition, that as soon as it's rainy season, you got to get rid of this mikvah. Because we'll learn the Makoros to see, you know, that requires a separate shiur. That's not, you know. Then Rachel Rosenberg was telling me another story yesterday about somebody who, there was a man who was in charge of the mikveh, and people were complaining maybe the mikveh is too cold, so he had this idea, he's going to put mayim, hot water in the mikveh. So he says, so he put the shuvim in first, and then he put geshamim on the shuvim.
Game over.
What?
Game over.
Game over. And he
put
did this.
Clear,
right. So there was a certain rav. So this was been done for like 7 years. This practice. So what happened? So 7 years. So that's why I always say, thank God that this Gedulei Tara there. You know, even though no one's allowed to say it, you know, the Gedulei Tara Shita that all tap water is really not shuvim because it's all mechubel karka. So even though it's b'bal toimar, you're not allowed to.
That's not going to help you with that.
Sure it is.
Why? He's pouring in with the cup.
No one pours in with a cup. He turned on the.
Oh, he's a Jewish guy.
Whatever he did, so the question is, but the week they found out after all these years, so a prominent Mor Hora said that we're going to be so mech, just that there was a hamshacha on the. And it went through a pipe, and that's a hamshacha. Even though we passed the shuvim shem shichu kula was no good, but he didn't even require this rav the week that they found out for the people to go again. They were, and then they redid the mikveh, and hopefully shalom Yisrael mikan ulahaba. But it just shows you that, you know, you can't take anything for granted. You take somebody in charge of the mikveh. You have to make sure, even though he means well, because this, I tell you, this fellow said that understand, when I have hot coffee, so first you have the hot, and then you put in some cold to cool it out. So same thing over here. I have a mikveh, so if I'll put the hot water in first, and then I'll put, so he built a mikveh that's pasul l'chol hades. I mean, he not built it, he orchestrated a mikveh that was pasul l'chol hades. Yeah.
He put
mayim shuvim, hot water,
and then
he had another bor of megashamim that was made to do a zriya. And he took from, then he let zriya water into the.
And there was no other
boiling
that
Hashem
had to?
Right.
So it was just a
bor zriya.
And no
Hashem.
So every time
they arrived, you're supposed to have 40 saw megashamim, then you could be marbid the shuvim. They had shuvim, and then he put megashamim.
It's even worse. Like, it's worse than it's shuvim.
In that community, basically, the women are all not just be tovel in tap water; they would be tovel in megashamim mamish. Meaning, because from the board three, it was overflowing.
So then he let in some. He put in bor mayim. After he filled up the water, the mikveh, the mate, bor tvilo, with hot mayim shuvim, then he let in some cold water from the bor
zriya.
And
that bor zriya always had spot
that mamzah,
it's whatever.
Well, it was made to do a zriya. So what he was supposed to do is do a zriya, have the mayim shuvim go into the bor zriya and then overflow. But he had his svara that I want to have a mikveh that's comfortable for the women, that's not too cold. So what do? You start with hot and then cool it off instead of starting with cold. And so he built. So he was doing the mikveh for many years, and he didn't mean to be mocked, but he was not a learned person. So he had good intention, but then there was no one looking after it. So it just shows you how. But so now let's talk about a little bit Chabad mikveh. So the Chabad mikveh is what Rav Nachum Rosenberg says was like a foolproof mikveh, because there are much less mistakes that can go wrong with the, you know, like there was one mikveh he was telling me. And sometimes they don't do a hashaka, or they forgot to do a hashaka, or the hole was made in a way that the hashaka is not really happening. But here, if you put the hashaka hole in the floor, so and then there's water, obviously you're going into the mikveh, so there's water, so obviously there's a hashaka happened, because the hashaka is in the floor. You see, if you have a tzeh b'tzad tzeh, there's always a chashash to get high, to the two. That the two sides of the wall, are they touching each other? Are they high enough or not? So,
did they close the hole ever?
I presume they close it when they want to clean it out. That's usually when you clean out a mikveh, you close it up and you. What?
Meaning they use the pump from the bottom, it's not going to go below it. The pump they use is going to have a hose that doesn't go all the way into the hole. So it's
you could have cleaned out the mikveh.
Plug up the hole.
What?
So you shouldn't.
When you want to suction out the top water.
You're sucking out the top
water. Only the top water is going to be suctioned out.
Yeah, okay.
Not the bottom water.
Where are you saying the water is going to stay at the bottom? It's going to stay where it is.
Yeah, but you don't want to make sure you suction out any bottom water either. In other words, you could end up by mistake suctioning out.
The pump doesn't go that far.
You know, who knows? I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so that's the Chabad mikveh. This way they do hashaka zel gabe zeh, and I'll show you. I don't think it's in this packet. In a future packet, that this concept is in Rishonim, that this is good. You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, some people. You know, a lot had to do with the politics of Chabad, that they you know, don't like Chabad, so then they started saying you shouldn't use their mikvahs because they didn't like the whole movement, you know, so it's important to, you know, separate politics, right, from halacha, what's, you know, it shouldn't say something's not a good mikvah. If it is a good mikvah and you just don't like messianism or whatever you don't like about them, you know, mikvah is a mikvah, that you know, it's very important to, we'll have a future packet to, okay, but so this is the way they do the mikvah, and they actually make a big hole, a bigger hole than they make two holes, a tefach each. We'll have a separate shiur discussing how big the holes really have to be. You know, just yesterday, Reb Nachum Rosenberg told me a story, just so how stories go. There was a man, a man was using a mikveh in the daytime, maybe he was for davening. At the same time, he wanted to be tovel a knife. So he tovel himself and tovel the knife. But I guess while he was tovel himself, he wanted to put the knife aside so he shouldn't lose the knife. So he put the knife in the neck of Hashaka. That's where he put the knife. Okay? And then he was tovel. And then he left and he forgot about the knife. And then that night a woman comes and sees that there's a knife in the neck of Hashaka. And then there's a whole discussion. Is that a problem with that? So it happens to be that I was Rav Nachum's mikvah, so he's mahadir to make big holes, bigger than the. We'll see what his sheet is based on. His sheet, the Rav Nachum. See, the Iker sheet, like Rav Chaim Kalman Klein said, is like two inches for a neck of Hashaka. The minute Rav Chaim Klein told me is to make three inches. And Rav Nachum Rosenberg likes to make even four, and we'll have to discuss what these shittas are.
Everybody holds the whole hole has to be filled with water. I thought some people say as long as the water comes, you know, there's a difference between the shear of the neck and how much water has to be.
Yeah, but we assume. Yeah. Okay. So there is a Mishnah in Taurus. Yeah, so maybe it's not a good hashaka anymore. If you need hashaka to midi, so it happens to be that mikvah he made, Reb Nachum, and he makes it a bigger hole, which is dive hoser. So even though he told me that the knife took up some of the space, but still it was still berevach. But it just comes to show you like what like type of things could happen in a, you know, that's what Rabbi Vorhan told me is very machmir in his mikveh. He doesn't want people to be tovel kalim in his mikveh, because chas v'sholem, somebody can come in and he can drop a knife there, and then someone can be tovel and their foot could go on the knife or on a plate. You know, you can break your, you can, you know, a lot of the, so it's good. He has, I think, glass, broken glass, yeah. Very, yeah, so we got to be very careful of what, you know. So the three lines from the bottom. Hanitzach v'akatafres mashko tofech enu chibra lo l'tuba v'lo l'tara. So katafres is enu chibra. So the pashup shot means that if you have a ramp, slope, and the water's sloping down, and say you want to mechaber two mikvos, say one mikvah is 20, one mikvah is 20, and you have rainwater that's going down the mountain, and you want to mechaber the two mikvos, so it's not a chibur, because it's going on the ramp, and the ramp is not a chibur. But the pashut pshat is, it's talking about running water on a ramp. Running water on a ramp. That's the pashut pshat. We'll see who says the beferish. So the Divrei Chaim was mechadish the following thing. And he thinks it's the... And this became a whole stir. And he says what he calls katafresh bashborin, that even if it's not running water, but you have water on a slant, that's not a chibur. Was this zochlin eino in his chibur is one thing. Katafras is even if it's not zochlin, it's still not a chibur. It's not a chibur if it's So if you have a slope, it's not a chibur. And his chiddush is that a slope, the pashup shot, is katafras means the water's flowing down the, like the Rambam's lashon here. Kvar yadati shekatafras hu shetach hashakul l'shetach haaretz im shofech alav dover yered v'yizol. In other words, page one. See, in the Rash, he just speaks about Mayim Aboy Mil Mal Al Mata Dech Midron Shotel Gavov Zokov.
If the water level is below the top of the ramp, then it's got to run down. I mean, you can't have water.
Right.
Not
below the top. Right. So, but what if you have water that's you have water on a slope, it's not moving, because there's something on the bottom that's stopping it. I'll explain. Let me explain. I'll give you an example. We'll see inside soon. Just the Divrei Chaim holds that if you have a mikveh, which we do all today, you have steps going down to the mikveh, and then there's water on the steps. So he says that water is a katafras. So the water on the steps is not mitzuraf each to its other. If you, like Rav Goodman says, you have 40 saw, if you have wide steps, and there's 40 saw on each step, so that's good. But say you don't have 40 saw, there's small steps, and you tovel on the steps, and you, whereas it's, right? So then you tovel, even though nothing's moving there, right? So that's the idea. That even if it's stationary, his contribution to Yiddishkeit over here is that even katafras bashbor, that's what he wants to say, is no good. Katafras bashbor. We'll see in a second. And therefore, he says, so therefore the people that wanted to attack the Chabad mikveh wanted to say that if you have bor agabe bor, it's a 90-degree slope. Ein lecha slope gadol mizeh. And therefore, you're trying to be yotze the chumra of the Rambam and the Ravid, which in Shulchan Aruch world is the chumra, and maybe the whole thing is puzzle. So, to me, it's very... we have to see the Makoris and things like that. And this is not the mainstream opinion. It's not the mainstream opinion, but I will say that the Helmutzer Rebbe, even though you know, I don't think he's the end all. Even though he spent his life in mikvos, that doesn't mean that he's the poisek hador in mikvos either. In other words, every tshuva sefer has 10 tshuvas in mikvos all written to him. You know, you look at the Michas Yitzchak, you look at the Igros Moshe, you know, but. So he claims that some, whatever, he claims that, and this I very much do not subscribe to, and he claims all Lubavitch and Mikvah's apostle, because they're all Katafras and Eid Echibur, and so I'd like to explain to you why I think not like him, but what the merit is, what he has to say, and what the not merit, what he has to say. He was a short little man. He lived in Williamsburg. I told you he once came to the YU library. I saw him with Dr. Miller. And
how do you
Right. So Yosef is asking a good question. The Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah is the Katafras is contrasted to Ashborin. Right? So he'll learn that no, the comparison is a flat surface versus a crooked surface. Not, in other words, it happens to be that if you have a flat surface, it's going to be not moving. But that's just memela. But the ashborin means there's a pit in the ground. There's no slope, as opposed to when there's a slope. But so when it's ashborin memela, it's going to be it's not going to be moving. But that's not the nakuda. He'll say the nakuda is it flat ground or is it crooked ground? Okay, so he has. So what was the original that he said this to? So if you look on page 4, the original tshuva was in Divrei Chaim. Yoredei Chelek Beisim Peches. It was the tshuva written to none other than Rav Chaim Elazar Box. Who was that? That was the Nefesh Chaya. So he points out the footnote. We can look up in the Nefesh Chaya, so you'll see. In other words, the Divrei Chaim was responding to a tshuva on page 15 that was the Nefesh Chaya. Chaim Elazar Vax. It's also a big goal. Okay? And he wrote this conscious Gulas Aliyas, not to be confused with the Sefer Gulas Aliyas, which is a separate Sefer on Mikros. And he told you how he built a certain mikvah, and then the Divrei Chaim responded to him. So if you look on page 15, she'ela b'mokom shenimtza misparzim b'tfila shel mitzvah rachmana litzlan. This is a community where people were very lax in their observance of Taras HaMishpacha. You see, the way the mikveh was constructed is that it was a Mayan, whatever, that you'd have to go very deep down to get to the water. In other words, the water was a Mayan, maybe?
Sounds like a Mayan.
And to get there, you know, so they didn't have these fancy air things that you can have the waters, you know, like Rabbi Hirth was saying, how much he had to dig in Passaic till they finally got to the water. So no woman is going down, so they get the air pump and they bring it up, and then you go to a mikvah on the regular ground level. But in the old days, if you had the water very down, so that means that a woman would have to go down 100 feet into the ground to get to the water. So that's not the most conducive thing. If a woman anyway is want to get her to get her to the mikveh, and the type of mikveh you have to offer her is that she has to go down 100 steps to get to some low thing. So he was trying to find an eitzah what he could do. Obviously he wasn't technologically advanced that he could do what we do today, you know. So he had to come up with an eitzah. Yeah, it's definitely a Mayan, he said. So he said, "Yesh eitzah, eitzah lasos hamikvah lamala al yidei mayim shuvim, שתהיה מקווה הזוס למעלה ממים שאובים מחוברס למקווה ממים שלמטה בארץ על ידי שופר סנות באופן של יצקה למים ממעלה למטה וזוס אפשר לעשות על ידי שהמקווה התחתונה תהיה טבע כפוי על שולה משוקה בארץ ונסתם כל סביב זה ומקווה המים של יוכל עוצס חוצה והטבע יהיה נוקוב למעלה כשופר סנות ויתוכב בו עץ חלול כשופר סנות עץ חלול הזה גם כן יהיה מחובר הדי כתב של יוכל המים העליונים לוצס ויעמדו כך המים העליונים. Well, so let me explain to you. He has a picture here. Does he have a picture? I mean, the Divrei Chaim drew the picture. Basically, look in the Divrei Chaim. He draws you the picture. On page 4. So basically, they had this mayim in the Nefesh Chaya's time. And to get to the mayim, they didn't have like these fancy air pumps these days. So you have to go down 100 feet to get to the mayim, for the women to be tovel. So the women weren't so interested in going to the mikveh, and it was a big challenge because the women didn't want to go so deep. And they didn't have these fancy equipment to pump it up with air. So basically what they did was they built a mikvah al gabe mayim, meaning he took a tube and he brought mayim shuvim on top and he filled he made a top mikvah with mayim shuvim that was hushak through the tube to the top mikvah. And remember, the women won't have to go into the mayan on the bottom. They just go into the mikvah on top. And they have a hashaka. And that was the eitzah of the Nefesh Chaya. So the Divrei Chaim responds to the Nefesh Chaya.
And he writes, that he thinks
that the mikveh is not good. So let me show you. Take a look. You can read it. There's a lot of different take a look on page 6 on the top.
Ladina near Lafia near Daiti also lasts mikvah al ofen ze. He says it's also.
Then he says, look at the second arrow. The third arrow.
He said the first word was hischabel. A few hischabel.
He did a trick. Ingenuity, a tachbula.
Shelo ye noza.
It's not moving.
Eino chibur. That tabu kolcha eino chibur betivo shetach shove eino chibur kumvur berivosh.
And then he writes again on the page 6 on the second arrow on the left.
Kochis bars mem soch al gad. Tanitza kakaza eino chibur. Vade Meyer Afilu Ba'omid.
That's his key line. You see, on page 6, the second arrow on the left. Vade Meyer Afilu Ba'omid. The Zochlin Belav Achilu Metarim. You see, Zochlin, of course, is no good. Is no chibur. So what's the chiddush of Katafris? You can have Zochlin in flat land. Is no good. So must be Zochter that the chiddush of Katafris ain't no chibur. Is even if it's stagnant. So over here, no water was moving, right? No water was moving. You had the mayan, you had your mikveh, and everything was stationary. No water was, not a drop was moving. And he said, that's no good. That's a pasul mikveh. And he writes it very strongly here. Look on page 7. Sof davar zo mikveh zu psula min haTorah l'anias daiti. So the mikveh that the Nefesh Chaya was machshir, the Divrei Chaim paskin, that was psulim in HaTorah. Now, the Nefesh Chaya, in his yeah, so we're going to try. We're going to see what we're not finished yet. But, right, so we still have to have many more shiurim to get to figure out what we should do.
Yeah.
What's that? I'll explain. And but the Nefesh Chaya on page 17. You see where the arrow is on page 17 on the bottom, where it says Nira Lanias Daiti. Borod who rock. In other words, the concept of katafris. Heichas amayim zochlim milmal olmatev. Ein amundim imkoman. Vixas avetchad shneim heim amayim hanigorim b'morad. The water is moving. Nitzoch is ba'avir. Katafris is on the ground. But it's moving water. If it's not moving water, yeah, look now, page 18. Aval mayim ha'omdim. But water that's stationary. This is our mikveh is a great mikveh. But this, I mean, the tide of Zochlein and Chibur anyway, so that's, this is Gufa. This is Gufa because it's Zochlein.
Because that's a flat tier, and then you isolate that one.
But he's saying that Katafris is just a
Hechitimtza
of Zohar, right. But it's not a halacha. The Divrei Chaim is it's a briskivor, it's a halacha. That Katafris is saying a chibur.
So this was
a step
back to the
Rechaim? So, I mean. No, he did it first. The Divrei Chaim is writing to him.
So this sits down on the Mishkaya.
Yeah, in other words, he's responding to him.
What does the Divrei Chaim do with that mission where the guy does exactly 40 sodom, one guy goes in and comes out, and the water that's on him, as long as it's put for petrol to make, with the same guy can tell you, create a petrol, so
he gets somewhere.
Well, good, yeah, so he speaks about that case also. Page 7. So he has your question on page 7. Look on page 7. First word on the line is Gittin, Daf Tazayin. The left column. The Machshe Benofel Lamato Hurak LeRabbi Yehuda V'lo LaHalacha. Okay. Right. And then he has another tshuva. He has like three tshuvas on this. The Divrei Chaim. on page 9, he has his tshuva about the steps, page 10. That water on the steps is not a chibur. And the Satma Rebbe was into this idea. That's why the Satmar Rebbe said, if you look on page 19, Rav Gutman says, the Satmar Rebbe, he has had huggers on the Satmar Rebbe in Mikvos, my friend Rav Chaim Kalman Gutman Shlita. Hichmir laso shliva rechava. He wanted the steps to be wide steps. Tal shliva yet shir memsa, beli it starfus. That every step, there should be memsa. Because this way you don't need any tziruf for the next step, because one step can't be mitzuruf for the next step once it's on an incline. So if you have,
but Hashak has Hashak work on each step.
In other words,
Hashak on each step.
Well, in other words, if the Hashak.
Presumably the hole is not in the step, it's in the deep part.
Right. Right.
So how will that work for this?
How will that work for the Hashaka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we say the walls of every men were on the top and just a vertical?
That's a good question. I think he's just talking. Let's say it's talking just stam and mikveh. You know, say make shom stamazoy or a mayan stamazoy that you wanna build. So you should make sure that you have memsa on every step.
Or you can just make sure the people go down to the mikveh.
Yeah.
Mikvehs don't have steps.
Right.
Right.
But you can have. Yeah, but you got to make sure because maybe people. Yeah. Oh.
All water is coming on top of the other water, and the walls are all vertical.
Where is it? One second. I'm going to get to that. So he was machmir for the Divrei Chaim. Now, so the big question, therefore, is: is the Chabad mikveh in violation of this Divrei Chaim? I don't know why I didn't Xerox it. There's another place in the Divrei Chaim, maybe I put it in the future packet, that he seems to say, the Divrei Chaim himself, and this is the classic approach, which the Divrei Chaim himself, I think, says in one place. But the only question is, in another place, he seems to say not that way. What? Imre Yosher says it, but I wanted to see it in the Divrei Chaim itself. And that is, maybe the whole psul was only. Yeah, 1 second. Yeah, take a look on page 5. He makes a comment. That if you have water on top of say you have water, two levels of water, and there's some nesarim, pieces of wood that are making it into two sections. Yeah, like planks of wood. They're flat planks. You have water on the bottom, water on the top, and they're planks. So he says, "Harei mamish echad lo tzrichi l'gurasik mashein kein im rechokim hema." He says, "Just if you have like the boardwalk, like you have water on the bottom, water on the top, and there's a sheer chibur." So he says he thinks that that's that's okay. Maybe the only psul is if it's rachel, or the way that Imre Yosher says, if there's a pipe, like the case of the Nefesh Chaya. But if it, but if it's just the floor and the water is basically zeh al gabei zeh,
so what's the steps?
Then, no, the steps is a ramisha.
It's a huge step. It's only a little bit off.
Right. So that's what many people want to claim, that the Divrei Chaim is not a violation. The Chabad is not a violation of Divrei Chaim, because it's basically just the floor. Where I think Rabbi Triga said, since they make two holes, that makes it even better. Two big holes, maybe that makes it like even.
That's very similar to the picture of the net.
But in other words, maybe they were only talking about when you had two mikvahs that were distant from each other. With that's what the Imre Yosher says, and that's where Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva also here in the Igros Moshe, that's the violation of Katafas. Look on page 20. He says, "Aval mikvah gabi mikvah ritzba nekuva, afsha ritzba ava bazev vade moda direchaim dekosher." The last couple of lines on page 20. Aval mikvah gabi mikvah, fa ritzba nekuva, yishvers hanod, afsha ritzba ava. Whereas if it's just a ritzpa, even if it's a thick ritzpa, he says that's the divrechaim will be moda. That's what he said about the teva. Whereas when you have a silon, then you're basically taking the water out of its natural habitat. Its natural habitat is just to be flat down. You're doing something to direct it in a certain way. If the silon wouldn't be there, the whole chibur would fall apart. You see? But she'en kein by the floor, if the floor wouldn't be there, then the water would just be on top of each other. But here, you're directing it, so this water should be channeled to bechaber there, so that's called a katafis. Because the volume that he says, a katafis means that the shape of the floor is making the water not be in its natural state. Its natural state, it just is flat. Again, more water goes on top. Once you have a pipe and you're doing it there, so the pro Chabad people are saying that we're not against the Divrei Chaim. Because the Divrei Chaim is only talking about a silon, where as a result of the silon, you're taking the water out of its tivius. Like,
what's the length of the Shpaferis Hanoid? There's not a pipe, it's flat on top of the one. I thought there is a
where?
Pipe, it's a hole.
It's a hole in the floor.
I'm saying, but the hole, what's the length of the hole?
Floor.
There's no length?
What do you mean length?
I'm saying the height where the two things that the floor is.
How thick is the floor? So even if it's a thick floor, but you're not taking the water out of its natural tivius. Okay, maybe 1 second. So that's a mahalach, I think, and I think that, and I would be ready to go home now and say, of course, the only thing is, there's another tshuva in Chosh that he writes in Mem Vav, where he clearly says not that way. On page 14, where the Divrei Chaim clearly says not that way. And the Divrei Chaim says that he's talking about a case where you have a teva. You have a hole in a teva and then you're doing a hashaka from underneath. So it's only like a box. And there's a hole there, and he calls that a katafas. So that's why the whole world. So if he wouldn't have had that tshuva on page 14, then I would say for sure they're all right. And the Chesed Yoshua, page 21, he says, how can these people all say what they said about the Divrei Chaim, but what about his tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Vav? The Gam Migal Mem Bicha. So the Betzel HaChochma from Australia, Zatzal, tries to say maybe that he only meant the L'chumra, and there's a tshuva of the Kreuzenberg, etc. Ramosha was from the page 27, was from big from the pipe people. So that's the one hesitation, you know, that on the tshuva, the Divrei Chaim, where he seems to say even when there's no pipe, he still calls it a katafras. Yeah, so that's what they. So the Betzal HaChochma tries to. Basically, I think the upshot is he says that maybe over there he only meant the Chumra. But Mikra Din is what he said over there, that's what he writes in the Tshuva. And so in the end of the day, remains this Machloika. So I think Ruba the Poskim assume that. In other words, you have to realize this. First of all, the Divrei Chaim itself is a chiddush nifla. That is, I mean, you can learn the sugya. What do you? In other words, katafras bashbor. This new idea of katafras bashbor. That's one thing. Then you have to say, does it apply if it's just a flat surface? Because basically, the water will still be there, but tibius. You're not causing. You're not trying to take the water out of its natural. Place.
The location of the hole goes straight up from the bottom of the first board to the top of the second board. There's no.
Where? Which case?
In the board on the board without a pipe vessel.
Yeah.
Wherever that hole is, yeah. There's a straight line of water. Yeah.
Right, and then so in itself the whole different chayim is a chiddush, and then the question is, do you apply it even on the silon? And then what we're going to talk about next time is, so could you do a chabad mikveh with another hashakim and atzad? Will that solve all the problems? Well, so you think it would? That's what Moshe writes here. I don't think anyone should pass on that, and yet that was like a big fight. That was like a major fight. In the famous fight in Miami Beach about the mikveh, because they had a Chabad milmata, but they even used the, but they had another Hashakim and Atzad, and it still was a fight. So that's the next packet. Understand? Is there any? What's the chashash? So many don't hold from the whole Divrei Chaim, like the Nefesh Chayim. But the Divrei, since the Divrei Chaim said it, you know, the Divrei Chaim was other well. Who's the Divrei Chaim's father-in-law? The Bar Tam, we'll speak about that a different time. Okay, and then this. Okay, so Bezer Shem Tuesday we continue, Bezer Shem. Tuesday was
Sunday. Who's the Bar Tam?
Who's the Bar Tam? Bar Tam is the God of Lador. Bar Tum and Frankel.